First or Second Peter.
So forget Mike.
Huh?
So forget Mike.
Mike's here.
No, Mike.
Oh, Mike. This Mike. There's an interesting thing in what we studied yesterday that we passed over. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 13 and 14. Actually, 13, 14, and 15. He says, "Yes, I think it necessary or meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by the putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease or exodus, to have these things always in remembrance." The word tabernacle is a technical word in the Greek, and it means a tent for one night. It's more like a shelter, all right? There's nothing permanent about it. So here, Paul is calling his body the tent for one night. Now, the idea of calling your body the tent for one night means you're not too interested in its condition. Peter, he's about to die. He doesn't care. He's about to die a violent death that was prophesied by Christ. He doesn't care. He just said, "This is my tent for one night." His body is his tent for one night. You get a little, you get a hole in it and you patch it up so it doesn't rain on you, but you don't spend a lot of time on it. Am I communicating to anybody? Am I communicating to any tents? Now, Paul obviously emphasized that, where he said, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." Can you easily see how quickly you become consumed with the proper care of the body, of the tent for one night? And nobody emphasizes or exemplifies this more than Brother Buckner. Not anymore, but obviously. But in truth, remember that, you spent your every waking hour practicing to become an Olympic gymnast. From a scrawny little bird to an Olympic gymnast. Now, again, we can take this. I mean, keep this in your head, that your body is a tent for one night, then you're not going to get all bent out of shape about things. Does everybody understand this?
Your body is not the life.
Your body is rotting. Your body is rusting away. It's on fire. It's a tent for one night.
Not broaden that to thinking that your life. I mean, your life on this
right.
This walk. I mean, not just
But it's for one night, because that is what the scriptures say, that the last day. Remember, in Judaism, the day started at sunset. The last day started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the cross, when the sun darkened. And so we've been in the last day ever since. We're waiting for the day to dawn at our exodus. It's already happened, but most people can't see it because they're looking based on their senses. But my point is it's all about staying in the kingdom of light, not returning to the kingdom of darkness. If you give breath to anything in the kingdom of darkness, then you've fallen back into the kingdom of darkness.
Well,
the Antichrist has a hold on you. But here he calls it the tent for one night, and he's all excited and everything. I mean, he's resigned. He knows he's going to die. But let's look and see what he said when he was still a disciple. When he's still back. Go to Matthew 17. I just noticed this morning. I've never seen it this clear before. They just seen the Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now there he was talking about temples. When it says your body is the temple, it means it's the tent for one night. Here he's saying, before the Holy Spirit came, he saw the majesty on high, and not only was he didn't recognize that his body was the temple, or about to be, now his body was really neat, and he was He-Man. And to make it even more ridiculous, he didn't see the meaning of the parable, so he said, let's make here three tabernacles, three temples, for one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus, in addition to the one for God in Jerusalem. So his idea of what his body was about and what religion was about was still based on the old thinking, the thinking after the natural, the parable. After the Holy Spirit came, then he called his body a tent for one night, a temporary shelter. Does that communicate to all of you? Now, the problem with the modern church is we've built tabernacles on every street corner, and it's reflected in the worship of the physical body in addition to the worship of some so-called house of God, even though Christ said, and people quoted, where is the house you're going to build me?
And God really, that's the same thing he said, you know, forget the temple stuff. You know, it's all about...
All right. My point is, I don't want you returning to the kingdom of darkness for any reason. You can return to the kingdom of darkness from a religious sense in believing that a place or a building is a house of God, or you can return to the kingdom of darkness in a physical sense when you believe that you've got to take care of your body. When Paul said, "Know you not that your body is the temple of God?" He was exhorting them to not do the same thing. He said, don't go back and mix with... He was saying, don't mix your tent with the temple. Does everybody understand me? Does it offend anybody? It's offending Mike. I can see it in his countenance. Well, you've lost everything anyway. If you're worshiping your health.
Yeah. It's, but it's like health is the bottom line. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor.
It's the bottom line if, according to the senses. It's meaningless according to the spirit. If you want to live in the kingdom of darkness, health is the bottom line. If you want to live in the kingdom of light, it's meaningless.
It's like gaining
All right, go back to 2 Peter. This is further emphasized, the idea of the night. We're in the last day or the last night. In verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as a light that shineth in the dark place or the night, until a day dawn, until a day star rise in your heart. It's almost impossible for us to think that from God's perspective, the last day is one day long, and it lasted from the cross until the end of the world. And anything that goes on in the last day is about as meaningless as that which went on after Christ was crucified.
Well, the last day is when the bride is perfected, so in that sense...
But from God's standpoint, she's perfected from before the foundation of the earth. There's no time.
Things that are going on are for the perfection of the bride as far as
we're concerned. The reason it's taken so long is because of the rebellion of ideas. Huh?
Let's work on that.
Okay, let's. Let's think about the rebellion. Let's use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed again. Yeah. It's like you want to be part of the birth or the afterbirth. It's all part of the birth process. Okay. Then he says in verse 20, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men, as God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a biggie. Again, remember, none of the New Testament was written yet. So he's talking about Scripture as what they thought of as Scripture. Now, if you're an Orthodox, they thought the only Scripture was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you were a little more like the scribes, you included a lot of the writings and a lot of the prophets as under Scripture. But it doesn't matter. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. It's just back left a few verses. Chapter 3, I mean. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, he's talking to one of his the guys that followed him around. He's talking to Timothy. In verse 14 he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, as a child, he didn't have the New Testament, obviously. As a child, he studied, remember, the three-year cycle. And then it says, all Scripture, everything that you could need for the revelation of the mystery of God is contained therein. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As I've said to you so often, there's more revelation in the book of Leviticus than there is in any other book of the Bible. There's more revelation of Christ. There's probably as much revelation of Christ in the book of Genesis or Numbers or any of the other first five books of the Bible as there is anywhere. my point to you is this, that if you don't see the revelation of Christ in the Scripture, as he just said, in the Old Testament, in the Torah, you probably won't see the revelation of Christ in the New Testament. Is that clear to everybody?
Yeah, what you'll see, you'll be excited about the New Testament and everything it says, but it'll all be about how you can improve and behave and all that stuff, which you may love. And you think you're doing God's holy.
Because and they even have to create two gods. The Old Testament was the God of wrath. The New Testament was the God of mercy. Where'd that come from? God didn't change. The revelation of God didn't change. When at the very first, when Cain slew Abel, God told Abel, "Why is your countenance fallen? Know you not the sin offering lieth at the door?" It says clearly the gospel was preached unto Abraham. The gospel was preached unto all the Jews. But it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, when he's talking about them, when they're on the desert, in the wilderness, can you imagine the prosperity gospel being heard in the wilderness? God wants you to be rich. Well, rich to them was having a drink of water. Can that be rich to you? If you have food and raiment, therewith be content. All right. Let's continue on. I'm going to stop here, but I want to. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, because there is only one season now. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering, according to doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers to satisfy their itching ears. Does that sound like something you can understand? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. As opposed to seeing the revelation of Christ everywhere and in all things, and that life is about Him, not about you. Take it, big guy.